This is the Kildabe Combo, a Star Wars original trilogy, Star Wars Legends era fanfic, written by Fetz on Top and read by Rena Jenkins. The story is rated R and contains the pairings Boba Fett, Leia Organa, Finn Shisa, Boba Fett, Finn Shisa, Boba Fett, Leia Organa, and Leia Organa, Finn Shisa. With additional tags for alternate universe, canon divergence, Jedi Leia Organa, Legends, Mandalorian culture, aggressive negotiations, threesome, female, male, male, handjobs, oral sex, vaginal fingering, kissing, shower sex, Star Wars Rare Pair Exchange 2020. Summary. Jedi Knight Leia Skywalker is on the run from the Empire with her brother Luke and their guardian Ben Kenobi. When their desperate search for refuge leads them to Mandalore, Leia takes a chance and gets more than she bargained for. "We have to split up," Ben told them. "Spread out through the city and keep your ears open. Find out everything you can about the governance of the clans and who might have rebel sympathies, but be cautious." Leia barely heard her uncle's words. Ben had taken them all over the galaxy, from the Undercity on Coruscant to the merciless wilds of Tatooine, but she had never seen any place quite like Mandalore. The city of Kildabe was an intergalactic trading hub, but even here, the armored citizens outnumbered the unarmored 3-1. She saw armor in every style and color, and people traveled in groups, their shared insignia marking them as part of the same clan or tribe. She would need to learn the names of these clans, as well as who might be disposed to take in 3 fugitive Jedi. "Do you really think we'll be able to find help here?" her brother Luke questioned. "Some of these people are mercenaries."
"Oh, many of these people are mercenaries, Luke, but they are Mandalorians first."
Obi-Wan paused and then shrugged.
"You'll see what I mean soon enough."
"You said you lived among them before, Uncle Ben," Leia reminded him.
"Yes, well."
Ben smoothed the hand over his beard.
"Things have changed since then."
He reached into his pocket and extracted a few generic key fobs. "I found lodging for us. It's not much, but it'll do for now. We'll regroup in the morning, and you can tell me what you've learned."
"I'll go to the salvage yards," Luke said as he took a fob. "There's bound to be some junk races around there. Maybe I can make some friends."
"Good." Ben stood between them and put a hand on each of their shoulders.
"May the Force be with you."
Luke started toward the spaceport exit, but Ben caught the hood of Leia's cloak and held her back.
"Wait."
He withdrew the hilt of Leia's lightsaber from his robes.
"When were you planning to tell me?" "After I made a new one." "I let you craft a replacement once, and I have regretted it ever since."
"If I had stopped to look for that one, you would be in a bounty hunter's cargo hold."
"Which is the only reason I'm giving it back to you."
He extended the hilt to her.
"This weapon is your life, Leia."
"And you're my family." His sternness flickered. Leia could feel, as she often did, the pain that lay beneath. He blamed himself for whatever happened to her birth parents, but he couldn't bring himself to speak of it. "I'm sorry, Uncle Ben." She placed the lightsaber hilt back on her belt and pulled her cloak over it.
"It won't happen again." "See that it doesn't."
He turned away, his steps purposeful.
"Where are you going?"
"For a drink, of course." Leia wandered, following the flow of the night crowd until her steps slowed by necessity. People were crowded together outside of a tall industrial building, a warehouse of some sort.
The interior was lit up. There was some kind of event going on inside. She could feel the raw heat in the air, the excitement of the people around her. Her blood hummed in response, and her pulse quickened. And then she heard it. Just one word, rising and falling in conversation. Mandalore. She knew it from reading reports on the system. At the very top of the Mandalorian clan system, there was one head chieftain who held their allegiance, known simply in basic as the Mandalore. Not so much a ruler as a general, but a central authority figure nonetheless. If anyone could shield them from the Empire, he could. And he was inside that building. Leia worked her way to the entrance, using her small stature to her advantage as she slipped through the press of armored bodies. It was easy to spot the main attraction. Portable holo-shield walls about a meter tall held the crowds at bay around a crude fighting ring. Inside the ring, two men circled one another, devoid of armor, barefoot, their bodysuits stripped to the waist and tied. Their hands were wrapped, but they wore no other protective gear. A public match, but not a planned one. As Leia watched, the taller of the two men took a swing. It was well calculated and swift, but his opponent dodged, pivoting with ease. He had the look of a career fighter, a compact build, rock steady on his feet. On the opposite side of the ring, there was a bench piled high with armor and weapons. Standing guard in front of it was a man in faded green armor, his helmet removed. Given his place of honor and the respectful space he was given in the crowded room, Leia thought he must be the Mandalore. The bright overhead lights glinted off his blonde hair as he leaned forward, intently watching the fight. She followed the wall, maneuvering around the edges of the crowd. She couldn't see the fight, but judging from the reaction of the audience, someone had scored a hit. She squeezed between a jetpack and an armored shoulder with a muttered apology, but hesitated before entering the open space the Mandalore occupied. If she was about to commit some social taboo, she had better be damn sure it was worth it. A jolt went through her when she realized that the chieftain was staring at her with quizzical gray eyes. He was a handsome man, older than her 22 years, but still younger than she expected someone of his rank to be. There was something about his posture and his expression that made her feel more relaxed. This was a reasonable man, not a tyrant or a blowhard. A man who could be persuaded. He straightened a little and jerked his head in silent invitation. That was easy. Leia moved to stand beside him, feigning great interest in whatever was happening in the ring. There was less chance of a misstep if she let him speak first. "He was staring at me," he said after a few seconds of silence. "I don't generally mind when such a lovely lady is staring at me, but I don't know you."
"I'm Leia."
"Zukri Leia. I'm Fenjiza."
He certainly had the charisma of a leader. His smile was warm, and he bent his head solicitously to speak to her.
"What brings you to Mandalore?"
Leia lifted a hand to the hood of her cloak and pushed it back. There was nothing particularly fancy about the braids that crossed her head, but she had the impression the man beside her was enjoying the view.
"Is it that obvious?" "We get a lot of people moving through these days. Run from the Empire, mostly."
"Because the Empire doesn't come here." She tilted her head and looked up at him as innocently as she could.
"Why is that?" "Mostly. That's the Mandalore's doing."
He nodded toward the ring, and Leia's pulse jumped in shock.
"The Mandalore is...
That's him right there. Boba Fett.
Leia followed his gaze to the man in the ring, the one she'd tagged as a professional.
Which he was, in a way. She just wasn't expecting the head chieftain of Mandalore to be stripped down and sweating in a makeshift fighting ring.
Perspiration made his dark hair curl and caught the light on smooth, tan skin as he circled his opponent, ready for the next strike.
Does he do this kind of thing a lot? Only when challenged.
Fenn tensed as the Mandalore advanced, forcing the other man into a vicious defense kick.
Careful, he said under his breath, but Leia didn't miss the concern in his tone.
Are the two of you a couple?
That drew Fenn's attention back, at least for a moment. We're a lot of things. Mostly I'm his advisor.
He gave her a quick grin.
That means I handle all the stuff he doesn't want to do.
Then he must want to fight.
He has to fight,
Fenn corrected her.
That's an old tradition. Anyone can challenge the Mandalore, and if they win, they become chieftain.
That's it? You just walk up and say, hey, I want your job?
That's the deal, Fenn confirmed. Anyone can challenge the Mandalore for the title, but that doesn't mean they'll succeed.
His words were punctuated by a brutal thud as the Mandalore landed a blow in his challenger's stomach. The man staggered back, doubled over, and a hush fell over the crowd. The Mandalore swiftly closed the gap, but his finishing blow was thwarted. The man spun away, gulping in air as he put space between them and raised his fists. On the other side of the ring, a group of Mandalorians erupted into loud cheers and encouragement. The challenger had supporters. The Mandalore shot an annoyed look at Fenn, and then his gaze fell on Leia. She had the impression that his dark eyes took in every detail of her appearance in a single blink, and even though it was no more than a second, it was enough to leave her unsettled.
I don't think he likes me standing so close to you, she said to Fenn. That's just how he looks. Papa doesn't do jealous. I wouldn't be with him if he did.
He looked down at the scant space between them.
That so happens. I like where you're standing just fine.
Leia was quite sure that the warmth in her cheeks was only partially due to the blazing overhead lights.
Is it always hand-to-hand combat? No, the Mandalore chooses the location and the style of combat. Unless the Mandalore is being a dikut and forgetting that Mortos Babuir owns half the industrial smelters in Kildabi. In that case, I pick the style of combat. Boba was going to shoot him in the head.
So you don't want to kill him, Leia clarified. Because of his Babuir.
Right. That means grandparent. In this case, Morto's grandma. Hand to hand gives him more time to yield.
Will he yield?
Fenn balked a little at that. You can't ever predict exactly what people will do. The last time Boba fought hand to hand, his challenger didn't yield.
It was a sobering thought.
Can the Mandalore yield?
Can he? Sure. Will he? No.
He seemed very confident, and Leia thought it was unlikely to be an issue in this fight. Morto was tiring, having taken enough blows to impair his speed and judgment. The Mandalore, on the other hand, showed no sign of relenting.
Is there a limit? Leia asked. If Morto dies or yields, could one of his friends challenge the Mandalore?
No, a challenger speaks for their clan or faction. The rest of them are bound by honor to take no action against the Mandalore, and the Mandalore is bound by honor to extend protection to the clan. There won't be any retribution. If the challenger loses, it's over. And this fight clearly was.
Thank you for answering all of my questions, she said, clasping her hands and inclining her head respectfully. People told me that Mandalorians weren't friendly to outsiders, but that hasn't been my experience.
Well, if you want to see some Mandalorian culture that isn't a deathmatch, you can let me show you some of our fine drinking establishments.
He bent his head towards hers, his voice low.
I'll be exactly as friendly as you want me to be.
It was an enticing offer. This was exactly the kind of connection that Ben wanted them to cultivate, which was exactly why Leia decided it was insufficient. As much as she loved and respected her guardian, he retreated too often when opportunity presented itself. The Mandalore was clearly not a man who retreated from opportunity. His opponent gave him an opening, a spare second of delayed response, and he took it, smashing his fist into the other man's jaw and sending him spiraling to the ground. Mordo landed hard, to the groans and gasps of his friends. But if he lost consciousness, it wasn't for long. He pulled himself up on one shaking arm.
Yield. I yield.
Leia could see the tension leave the Mandalore's shoulders. He dropped his stance and gave a single nod.
Help him up, Fenn urged under his breath. But he didn't.
He turned his back on Mordo and strode over to where Leia and Fenn stood.
Not bad, Bobica, Fenn offered. This is Leia. I'm here to challenge you.
The words tumbled out in a rush,
slightly less assured than Leia had hoped for.
The Mandalore stared her down, his gaze just as intense in close proximity. Fenn gave a half-cough, half-laugh.
Good to know you were paying attention, Missy, but the Mandalore won't fight.
Yes, I will,
Boba Fett said immediately.
Boba. She challenged me. She's an outsider. Any way this goes down, it ain't gonna look good.
So we'll do it without an audience.
He jerked his head toward the back of the room. There was a plain door nearly obscured by the shadows.
This is not a good idea,
Fenn said, in the same warning tone.
Noted.
He gathered up his armor and weapons and vanished through the door. Leia followed him, and Fenn trailed behind with a disapproving sigh. Leia was sure that her uncle and her brother would be equally disapproving if they knew what she was planning to do. It was a storage room. Dusty, but blessedly cool after the heat of the main room. Shelves were precariously mounted to the wall and loaded down with crates, leaving the floor open. The only light was from a spindly hanging fixture. There were no windows. And no witnesses, except for Fenn. The Mandalore crossed into the center of the space and folded his arms over his bare chest.
I choose hand-to-hand combat.
In response, she removed her cloak, careful to detach her lightsaber and hide it in the folds of the garment. She continued to undress until she was barefoot like him, wearing only a sleeveless tunic and pants.
Check her,
the Mandalore ordered curtly. Fenn pushed off the wall.
I'll search her for hidden weapons now. If you're still determined to go through with this.
Leia raised her arms and laced her fingers on the top of her head.
Go ahead. We could be out having a drink right now,
he said in her ear as he patted her down.
Still could.
Convince your chieftain to yield and I'll go with you now.
Might as well try to convince this planet to turn around and rotate in the opposite direction.
Leia lowered her arms and turned to face Fenn. She laid her palm lightly on his armored chest. Then I'll try not to hurt him. For you. Fenn put his gloved hand over hers, his expression rueful.
You've got some guts, I'll give you that.
Let's go, the Mandalore said impatiently.
Leia took a few steps toward the center of the room and took a fighting stance.
Her mind was racing a little. She hadn't expected him to agree so fast. Or to attack so fast.
Her reflexes saved her, but just barely. She countered with a kick that connected to his side, but he absorbed the blow with a wince. It was in her best interest to avoid punching with unwrapped hands, so she blocked his defensive strike and switched to grappling, hooking her leg around his. The action brought them nearly chest to chest, close enough that she could see the bronze tint in his brown eyes. For all his confidence, he was on his second fight, and it showed. His chest rose and fell swiftly, and his breath came quickly from between parted lips. There was something very attractive about the shape of his mouth.
Too bad she was about to smash her head into it.
His head snapped back when the blow connected, and he was forced to retreat a few steps. He shook his head to clear it before he raised his eyes to hers. Most people looked at her size and her youth and underestimated her. Their surprise gave her an advantage, but Boba Fett wasn't surprised. He touched his lower lip gingerly with his fingertips. There was no blood, although there would undoubtedly be a generous amount of swelling later. The corners of his mouth curled up in a half smile, and she caught a glimpse of bared teeth. An alarm sounded somewhere in the back of her mind. He was up to something. But before she could give it any further thought, he advanced again, with a speed that made his previous movements look sluggish by comparison. Leia blocked his arm, but was taken by a leg sweep, and they both tumbled to the filthy floor. She rolled, briefly gaining the top position before he wrestled her down through sheer brute strength. She was on her back now, pinned beneath him in a way that would have been highly suggestive without the current context. One of her legs was wrapped around his. Their hips were nearly flush, and she could feel every hard ridge of his body against hers. For a second, she forgot her purpose. And then his hand wrapped around her throat. Even that was a threat without teeth. He wasn't trying to choke her, he was holding her down. She bucked up beneath him and clawed at his arm, feigning panic as a distraction. She had promised Fenn not to hurt him, but now she wanted to hurt him. Just a little. Just to see that intense gaze break. A quick strike to his ribs shouldn't do any lasting damage. Her plans were disrupted when he reached down into the waist of his bodysuit and pulled out a blaster. Leia's heart might have stopped beating, but the motion was so fast it might also have taken place between heartbeats. He aimed straight ahead, well above her, and fired. Before she could even twist around to see his target, she was reaching out through the force, feeling the trajectory of the bolt. It was headed for a support beam holding up a shelf, right above Fenn Shisa's head. "Fenn!" Leia gasped. She force-pushed the Mandalore, hurling him backwards into the wall. The impact knocked the blaster from his hand, and Leia rolled over, reaching out as the shelf began to collapse. Fenn jumped to one side, his alarm turning to shock when he saw the crates hovering in the air above his head. Leia pushed them to the side, and they crashed to the floor in an explosion of dust and debris. "What?" Fenn looked at Leia, then at the crates, and then at the demolished shelf. "What the fucking hell, Boba?" Boba pulled himself to his feet.
"She's Jathi."
"Yeah, no shit."
Fenn stalked over to the other man, clearly furious.
"I saw a lightsaber from the start. What do you think? I didn't want you to fight her."
"So you thought you could seduce her instead?" "I thought I could talk to her and find out why she's here. Notice how that plan doesn't involve me dropping a ton of cargo on your head. You're never in any danger.
The Mandalore dismissed his outrage.
I knew she would save you.
Leia took advantage of their distraction, rising to her feet and dusting herself off as Fenn gave the other man a shove.
You never really know what people will do. How many times do you gotta learn their lesson? Don't feckin' start.
She slipped into the fraught space between the two men, facing the Mandalore.
I yield,
she said firmly.
You won.
My people will take no action against you, and we will, of course, accept your protection.
Boba Fett looked down at her, his anger turning to confusion. And then in a blink, something more. He was impressed.
Archak!
Fett spoke from behind her, his voice a little hoarse.
You engage the Mandalore in a death match to get his protection.
Can she do that?
I don't know,
Fenn admitted. Can't say that I've ever heard of anyone crazy enough to try it.
The Mandalorian chieftain tilted his head.
How many Jedi?
3. Me, my brother, and my uncle. She could feel Fenn relax a little behind her.
So this is about your family.
Ben saved us from the Jedi Purge when we were children. He's the only family we have. Darth Vader has been hunting us for years, and we barely escaped him the last time. She spread her hands, giving voice to what her uncle refused to admit. Mandalore is our only hope. Boba Fett's eyes dropped to the hammering pulse in her throat before he looked up at Fenn.
You didn't want an audience,
Fenn reminded him.
I'd say this one's up to you.
He drew in a slow breath and gave a curt nod.
You have my protection. Looks like you and Fenn can go have that drink now.
Leia closed her eyes and exhaled in relief. She could walk out of here with everything she came for and more. But there was something about feeling the heat from the Mandalore's bare chest and the cool edges of Fenn Sheese's armor that made her not want to leave. She opened her eyes and looked up at Boba Fett.
You could come too.
She turned her head to look up at Fenn.
If that's okay with you?
Yeah, of course it is.
Fenn's eyes were on the other man.
She wants you to come along.
Say yes, Boba.
I need a shower,
he responded with a shake of his head.
His eyes returned to Leia, and one eyebrow lifted.
You could come with me instead.
Too fast,
Fenn scolded.
Not for me,
Leia said.
There was an instant change in the atmosphere. The energy prickled across her skin like a static charge.
How big is this shower?
Fenn made a happy noise
and put a hand lightly at her waist.
Boba looked at Fenn and then down at her. Leia had the feeling he was sizing her up again, with a very different intent and purpose.
Big enough.
All I'm saying is, there has to be a name for this.
Fenn, Boba groaned.
Shut up.
Leia was incapable of contributing anything to the argument. Her back was pressed against Fenn Sheese's lean frame, his soap-slick hands on her breasts. It was almost as distracting as having Boba Fett in front of her, water from the showerhead running down his naked body as he pressed his fingers in between her thighs.
Two Mandos at the same time is a Mando-witch,
Fenn continued, undeterred.
Or a two-bucket-fuck if you want to be a little bit more colorful.
But two Mandos and a Jedi? What would you call that?
Has it ever been done?
Who cares?
Boba intoned, his attention on Leia as he adjusted the fingers inside of her. She gasped and twisted, her hips bucking forward.
I guess you're right, Fenn conceded. The name can wait.
He nuzzled into the curve of Leia's neck and gave her breast a light squeeze.
Tell us what you like, Sharika, and we'll do all of it.
This, she panted, reaching up to twine her fingers in Fenn's hair. I like this. I haven't had time for any kind of contraceptive.
So, lots of fingering and touching,
Fenn murmured into her hair.
We can do that. Do you have a position on kissing?
Yes, please.
Good.
Boba's free hand cupped her cheek, and then brushed a strand of wet hair out of her eyes. His perfect mouth touched hers for a fraction of a second before he jerked back.
Ouch!
Oh, sorry.
His lip was already starting to swell.
It'll be all right once I get some back on it.
He turned her around to face Fenn.
And at least this will shut him up.
It might,
Fenn grinned at him, before lowering his mouth to Leia's. She had to tilt her head all the way back, but Boba was a warm and solid presence at her back, holding her steady. Fenn kept her thoroughly engaged with light little kisses that grew in length and pressure until she felt dizzy. She didn't know whose hands were on her breasts and her hips and her thighs, and she didn't care. Sex could be somewhat intense for Force users, but this was beyond any previous experience. Two partners meant twice the radiating pleasure and raw desire. She felt like there was a hungry flame inside her, feeding off that pleasure and desire as two hard, water-slick bodies overwhelmed all of her other senses. The flame flickered and grew until he caught on one ragged breath and went supernova. Force! Even through the haze of bliss, she could feel Boba's amused huff on the back of her head.
That wasn't the Force, Jedi.
Fenn chuckled in agreement.
Maybe if we do it again, she'll get it right. It's a boring story,
Boba said. They were all stretched out on the bed, naked and cooling down. Leia was between the two men, enjoying the advantage of being able to touch them both at the same time.
If you don't tell me, Fenn will. He seemed amused by the threat, but he also refused to take the bait.
Let him tell it, then.
Leia stuck her tongue out at him and curled toward Fenn. She rested her cheek on his shoulder and spread a hand out on his chest. His body hair was a little darker than the hair on his head, a dark blonde that turned gold when she smoothed it down under her fingers.
Well, the thing is, Mandalorians were pretty splintered after the Clone Wars. There were factions spread out all over the galaxy, and a few different people carrying the title of Mandalore. The Empire took advantage of that, setting up their own factions and driving us further apart. I was pretty young then, but even I could see that we didn't have a chance at unification unless we could keep the Empire out. Anyway, round about that time I came across Boba, who'd gotten himself in a mess trying to do a job for one of his dad's old employers.
Fenn's tone turned a little grim. He rested his hand on top of Leia's and stroked the back of her hand with his thumb as if he needed something to do.
I don't think I'm exaggerating when I say it was bad.
It was bad,
Boba agreed.
In your defense, you were all of 15.
Fenn exhaled and squeezed Leia's hand.
See, the thing is, Boba's dad was the last great Mandalore. And I knew that if Mandalorians were going to unite, we had to remind them who they were. So after I saved Boba's skin, he said he owed me. And I said,
come back to Mandalore with me and claim the title of Mandalore.
And I said no,
Boba added.
At first you did, but you came around after a few years of living here and seeing what we were up against.
He fought 5 challengers in his first 3 days as Mandalore.
Beat every single one of them.
And I said to myself, this is it. This is how we do it. The proud smile on his face faded a little.
Of course, I was only half right. Took us a few more years to really figure it out. And somewhere along the way, we started sleeping together. So this is what we settled on. 2 men, 1 chieftain. A combo deal.
Leia raised her head a little. And what about the Empire?
Now that part I'd love to tell you, Fenn said, smirking at her. But I can't. Let's just say along the way, we made a lot of deals and a lot of friends.
Leia pulled herself up a little further, dropping small, playful kisses on the freckles that dotted Fenn's chest and stomach.
Friends in the Rebellion? I don't know anything about a rebellion, Fenn replied with exaggerated sincerity. Boba, do we know anything about a rebellion against the Empire?
There is no rebellion on Mandalore,
Boba replied in a way that sounded rehearsed.
We govern ourselves. Any suspected rebels will be immediately arrested and turned over to the Empire.
Then I guess it's a good thing that there are none here. Leia moved lower, kissing her way down Fenn's abdomen. He groaned softly and shifted on the bed.
Oh, sick. I don't know what I did to deserve that.
She shifted her head up just enough to look at Boba, who had rolled to his side and was lazily stroking himself as he watched. Fenn was right. He wasn't the jealous type. But there was more to it than that. He would never deny anything to Fenn Shisa, the man who saved his life and gave him something to fight for.
I think you know, she told Fenn, pressing one last kiss into his hip before she moved down and took his cock into her mouth.
Since the moment we met, you haven't stopped staring at me. But as soon as I put my hand on your cock, you can't meet my eyes. Leia punctuated her teasing words by squeezing the Mandalore shaft. Why is that? Boba's eyes shut briefly before refocusing on the wall, stubbornly refusing to look at the woman in his lap.
I can look at you, or I can make this last. I can't do both.
That sounds like a challenge.
Her free hand caught his and brought it up to her cheek, tucking it under the loose curtain of her hair.
Both men expressed an interest in seeing what it looked like down, and that was inducement enough.
She caught 2 of Boba's fingers in her mouth, sucking noisily while he groaned and turned his head away. Look at me, she coaxed in a breathy tone, releasing his hand. I haven't known you for very long, but stamina doesn't seem to be your problem.
I'm better with instructions than eye contact,
Boba returned shortly.
And you're sucking on my fingers when you could be telling me where to put them.
Fenn snorted a laugh and knelt behind Boba on the bed.
Welcome to the club. It doesn't look me in the eyes when we're fucking either. Different problem.
Boba deadpanned.
If I have to look at your face, I'll never come. Can't relate,
Fenn responded cheerfully,
since my favorite way to come is on your face.
He kissed the side of Boba's neck before reaching over to cup Leia's cheek.
That hot little mouth might be a close second. Could you see what her tongue was doing to me?
Boba gripped the tangle of sheets beneath him.
Tell you what, Fenn told Leia.
I'll do the eye contact for both of us, if you'll ride his fingers again. Not to be hyperbolic, but the way you do that is gonna haunt my dreams for the rest of my life.
After he finishes, she promised.
Why not at the same time?
Boba moved his own legs apart, forcing hers wider.
You wanted a challenge.
His fingers sank into her, and the sweet friction of it made her whole body shudder.
That's it,
Fenn said approvingly.
That's the way, right there.
Leia drew herself back together with effort and a slightly undignified noise.
So look at me, she insisted, her eyes on Boba.
Look at me, she requested, softer than before. When his eyes darted to hers, she rolled her hips and arched her back, bearing down on his fingers with a wanton gasp.
Feck!
Fenn sighed happily.
We're all gonna have to get back in that shower.
As Ben had warned, their rooms at the lodging house weren't much. Everything seemed to be either chipping or peeling, but the fact that Leia had her own room still put it in the better half of their temporary residences. She could hear her brother and Ben talking through the thin walls as she dragged herself up and combed her fingers through her tangled hair. It must have been still damp when she fell into bed in the early morning hours. There was a moment during that last shower where she thought she might have dissolved into the water, pressed between two men who were intent on demonstrating everything they learned about her and what she liked. By the end, she was trembling, exhausted and exhilarated, and yet at the same time, she felt safe. It was a rare feeling in her life. Maybe she had a concept of it once, before she understood why Ben kept moving them from system to system. Nothing ever felt permanent or stable. If she closed her eyes, she could still smell the soap from the shower, traces of happiness clinging to her being. But she couldn't lay in bed all day. Ben was waiting for her report. And there was calf in the kitchen. She could smell it. The racing is pretty much insane, Luke was saying as she emerged from her room. I was planning to lose a couple of matches anyway, but until I really get the hang of their event systems, I'm mid-class at best. The prevalence of Mandal Motors has had a strong influence on local culture, Ben agreed. Children grow up here learning how to vent shift a hopper before they can read. It's horrifying. Maybe for people who don't like flying, Luke returned teasingly, before he turned his head toward Leia.
Look who's up.
You were out late, Ben noted, as she found a cup and then discarded it for a bigger one.
I'm eager to hear what you learned.
Calf first.
I might as well get the bad news out of the way, Ben said with a grimace. Finding refuge here is going to be harder than I thought. The current chieftain is someone I've met before. His father was a bounty hunter who was killed in a fight with the Jedi during the Clone Wars.
Leia looked up sharply. He was?
Yes. I'm afraid he's not likely to help us.
She lifted her cup to her lips.
I guess you never really know what people will do.
The door chimed, and everyone froze. Ben tilted his head to one side.
I don't sense hostile intentions.
Might be the lodging manager, Luke suggested. She said she would stop by with a new light unit for the fresher.
Yes, it is somewhat dim.
Ben started to rise, but Leia motioned for him to stay. I'll get it, she said, setting her cup down. The door was separated from the kitchen by a flimsy partition. If there was trouble on the other side, they might assume she was alone, which gave them the element of surprise if they needed it. She opened the door to find Boba Fett standing in the hall, fully attired in Mandalorian armor, with his helmet under his arm. It struck her immediately that she had seen his armor, but hadn't seen him in it.
It was a very good look for him.
Hi, she managed.
Good morning,
he said politely.
Can I come in?
Yes, I just... She inwardly cursed the partition now, knowing that Ben and Luke were sitting silently on the other side, listening to every word. She took a step back to let him in. How did you know where to find me?
I'm the Mandalore,
he said, as if that made the answer obvious. He produced a bundle of cloth from inside his helmet and offered it to her.
You left this on my bedroom floor.
Heat flooded her cheeks as she accepted her cloak.
And this.
Her lightsaber.
She took it from his hand, both relieved and embarrassed.
Thank you.
You could have stayed, Bulba said. Fen always makes breakfast when he sleeps over. He's good at it.
Leia had no problem believing that.
Fen Shisa was a man of many talents.
I'll keep that in mind. For next time?
He said it casually, but with a searching look. He wanted there to be a next time.
Next time, Leia agreed.
His eyes lit up, and she felt that light all the way down to her toes. She stepped in closer, tilting her face up in invitation.
How's your lip?
In response, he kissed her deeply, his arm around her waist and his armor pressing into her.
She didn't mind the hard edges. In fact,
Leia had to pause to take a breath when they parted.
I'll see you later.
He nodded and stepped back, lifting his helmet to his head. How was it possible for a man covered head-to-toe in combat armor to be so handsome? As soon as he left, she braced herself and crossed over to the other side of the partition. Hugging her cloak to hide the fact that her nipples were hard. Her brother was on the floor, silently miming death in a dramatic fashion, while her uncle sat stoically in his chair with his arms folded over his chest. Okay, she said. That was pretty much exactly what it sounded like. Last night, I slept with both the Mandalore and his advisor.
And now he knows you're a Jedi,
Ben said, rubbing a hand over his face.
Because you managed to lose track of your lightsaber while you were in his bed.
He knew before, and I didn't lose it. It's right here. Also, we've been granted protection. Not because of the sex, she added quickly. I challenged him to combat for his title.
Luke sat up.
You did what now?
It's tradition. And there are clans here actively involved in the rebellion. Fen will point us in the right direction, but the Mandalore can't know anything about it.
Ben settled back in his chair, his shoulders slumped in resignation. Well, that does save us some time, I suppose.
How do you do it? Luke wondered. You always manage to walk right into a nest of Gundarks.
That was one time.
And this isn't a nest of Gundarks. She paused, feeling the weight of what she was about to say.
I think this is home.
The end. Reader's notes. I have had this story in my to-be-possibly-recorded bookmarks file since a non-posting for the Star Wars Ripper Exchange 2020, and then I came back to it a couple of days later, and it was like, hey, this is Fets on Top, and I was like, hot damn, Fets on Top is blanket permission. Also, yay, I know you
it was a very exciting moment for me to find the reveals, and finally got around to recording it now, because I love this. I love this, like, you know what? Nobody's entirely... It's a little bit like decoy handmaidens, decoy queen kind of nonsense, with Fen and Fett handing the sort of job responsibilities of the Mandalore back and forth off of each other. One of them's the Mandalore. Which one? We're not sure. The fact that we both happen to wear very nearly identical matching armor is totally not decoy at all. It's just this sentiment that we're expressing, obviously. Also, the little bit where Obi-Wan is like, how is this my life? How am I telling a second generation of Skywalkers not to leave their lightsaber behind while they're having a date night? Like, you could see his, you are definitely Anakin's child, running on ticker tape through his brain when Leia comes home the next morning. But also, oh, I love this so much. I love the idea of, yes, she's Force sensitive, but like, you know, sort of the new version of Jedi and the version of being Mandalorian and the version of being Jedi, where it is very much about the actions of doing rather than the, sort of versus the inherent inherited Mandalorianness or Jedi-ness, and how that shapes sort of the version of Jedi that Leia is on the run from the Empire, and it shapes the version of the Mandalore that Boba is and that Fen is. It's just so good for me. Obi-Wan's just, like, so exasperated, though. I am perpetually on the run from Anakin, and do you know what his child is doing? His child is doing the exact same thing we spent the time on the run in the Clone Wars doing. And meanwhile, Luke is just like, yeah, and I found a speed race gang. And Obi-Wan's just like, fuck. Both of these children are both of yours. Like, to both Anakin and Padme. And he's just, you know, yes, I love you, you're my responsibility, but also, this whole family is so exhausting. But the idea that, you know, Mandalore is home, and the uniting the clans backstory for Fen and Fett. Oh, it was so good for me. And also, presumably, for Effie Ago, who the story was originally written for, because, you know, beautiful. But yes, I have a lot of feelings about this AU. I cannot wait for Boba, or, you know, sort of headcanoning the idea of what the reaction might be when Boba realizes who Leia's uncle is and who Leia's father might have been, because they didn't really do last names, because he would recognize Skywalker as a sort of name of importance. Yeah, no. The way the war is going to go from here, I don't know, but I am going to sit in headcanon a little bit and maybe come back and add more writer's notes. Okay, yeah, it's been 24 hours and I had more thoughts. Yeah, I am adding to the writer's notes. So thought number one, Fen Shisa's accent. I attempted to make him sound sort of U.S. Southern / rural, but I can't do that, so it sort of migrated from that to accidentally a little bit my cousin from Queens, New York. I don't actually fully 100% know what noises my mouth was making for some of his lines, but in the spirit of no retakes, no hard cover art, we're gonna just retroactively headcanon that part of Fen's shtick as a co-Mandalore-ing with Fett is that just sort of this idea that, like, you know, he's a little bit rural, he's a little bit hick, he's maybe the guy that you underestimate a little bit, so that there's, like, that extra bit if you don't see this coming. And then as the night progresses, he gets more comfortable with Leia, and something inside him trusts her, and so he starts to maybe be less overtly conscious of the performative accent he is putting on, and he falls back into something that's a little bit more his natural speech patterns. Yeah, definitely an evolution of accent as emotional intimacy, and definitely not, I don't know how to make words sound like other words. Yeah.
But I do actually really like the idea sort of that he exaggerates his, you know, to sound sort of the opposite of Boba, who's got sort of the combination of both the outer rim, thuggish, kind of violent stereotypes that go along with his accent, and also like the brute strength of it. So Fenn makes himself sound a little bit more harmless or something, so that they can cover all the bases when they're interacting with the general Mandoad. I like that. Definitely something I made up as a headcanon and not at all trying to justify acting choices. The cover art. I want to talk so much about the cover art. What's happening with my laptop? I want to talk so much about the cover art for this podfic. So my original thoughts were like, okay, do two helmets and a lightsaber hilt, because, you know, Fenn's and Fett's, Fenn's and Boba's are both the dark green with, like, very similar colorations in the comics, for, you know, a particular reason with the coloration meanings and everything. And that could be interesting, right? Except my thought had been sort of to use potentially someone's, like, Mando Merc helmet mock-up or something like that as, you know, inspiration for figuring that out. And I don't know, maybe it's just that he was a particular relic of a particular age, but nobody's got a Fenn Shisa helmet on the internet. And, like, all of the official illustrations of him are from a very particular comic run that has a very particular art style that, you know, does not blend well with other, you know, if I were to clip and pull other images to make something overall. So yeah, like, sort of trying to snip little bits together, collage style, didn't quite work, and the original idea was, ended up feeling a little generic, and as I'm going through the story, the bit at the end where Boba shows up and is like, "You left this on my bedroom floor," and he's all, like, swaggery about it, stabbed me right in the heart as, like, the most perfect, like, because it's a scene we don't actually see, so getting to illustrate that for this cover, the idea of this is Leia's cloak and her saber on the floor in the corner, maybe she kind of kicked it to the side in their all great rush to get to the shower, get to the bed. And then it's just sort of this, like, tangible evidence the morning after. Because Leia kind of feels to me like the kind of person who's going to leave before her partner wakes up, at least in this scenario, because she's more concerned about how do I break this to Obi-Wan and to Luke that, yes, I slept with them, and yes, I got protection, but I didn't sleep with them to get protection. That was just celebration. You know, she's, like, kind of thinking more about that than she is thinking about, like, reassure everyone that I'll be here in the morning to eat their snacks and all of that, you know? Even though I bet she would like a nice lion. So yeah, the cloak, also second headcanon, is that it is not the traditional woven, scratchy burlap equivalent of a Jedi cloak. For Leia, it's something much more along the lines of like a large shawl or a ruana, and that is because for the first third of quarantine, that was my knitting project. So that's that. Also because it gives Leia something to do with her hands as they're, you know, hopping from planet to planet in hyperspace at weeks at a time. She does moving meditation by fiber crafts. And Obi-Wan is at least like, fine, if you're going to leave things on the floor, odds are I step on something squishy instead of something pointy. And that's what he thinks for many days until Leia discovers double-pointed needles. And then he says, fuck all Skywalkers for leaving pointy things for me specifically to step on, particularly. Luke, of course, has his father's knack for leaving droid parts, you know, scattered everywhere, just like Legos for the unwary foot. And then the saber hilt in the image of the cover is actually the very back end of Asajj Ventress's hilt, but I like the idea of Leia is small. Leia has small hands. Leia will include grippy material in her own lightsaber hilt because otherwise, you know, it's both shock absorption and gripping in face of flying laser swords at your face. Obviously, you need to be able to hold on to shit. And also because my other major quarantine purchase was a pair of Asajj Ventress lightsaber hilts from Galaxy's Edge via Shop Disney. Anyway, and I don't have a additional hilt that's specifically Leia-esque. But yeah, I really liked this idea of illustrating a scene we don't actually see, but is very heavily implied, because I felt like, A, this is something I could, you know, make out of my own shit, take a photo shoot, and B, sort of flesh out that little bit and flesh out their whole vibe, and just felt very in-universe in a way that I really liked. And yes, Leia, running around the galaxy, she is much more cognizant of where she leaves her cloaks to Obi-Wan's perpetual bemusement, because, you know, if he was her inspiration, Obi-Wan loses his cloaks everywhere. But Leia, I think, would pay more attention to where her shit goes, because she made it with her own two hands. She put many hours of work into that shit. And then just sort of this idea that Fett's on top illustrates where, you know, Leia is very much her father's child with losing her lightsaber wherever. But, like, she is also very much Padme's child with the whole, you know, I could do this, or I could cut right to the heart of it and do the most, like, unexpected and yet the greatest gains for my work. And, yeah, it just felt so... I yield. Now I'm your responsibility. You beat me. Now you have to take me home and love me. It was just very quintessentially Leia, and you could see, like, her sort of, you know, mother's influence there. You know, she inherited something from Padme, besides the hair. And just, I love the story a lot. I love the idea of the shenanigans that are going to go down at the Meet the Family brunch between Boba Fett and Ven Shisa and Kenobi. You know, when everyone is sort of having to explain their connections to each other in a way that, like, puts them in the positive light, but also doesn't piss off the fact that they need help. And, like, Luke just basically being a popcorn gif. Like, oh, my sister's boyfriends are boyfriends with each other, but also have a lot of deeply entrenched resentment and also potential murderosity against my uncle. And also apparently my uncle was potentially in line to be adjacent to somebody in line for the other title of Mandalore. The what? The what now? And then, like, the whole story of Obi-Wan's... Oh, gosh. Obi-Wan doesn't tell them about the siege of Mandalore. He tells them about the first time he was there when he was 16. And that's the story they think that when he says he's been to Mandalore, whereas Boba and Fen are operating off of the siege of Mandalore storyline and just all those shenanigans. Obviously, Leia and Fen and Boba live happily ever after, ruling this planet, because if anyone should be in charge of a planet, it should be Princess Leia. Luke will slowly, basically Fast and the Furious his way into the local racing gangs, only less selling of VCRs out of the back of a truck. It's gonna be great for Luke. I'm so stoked for him. And of course, Obi-Wan is just perpetually exhausted. And because, why not? I think it's hilarious. Here are some bloopers from when I was recording this podfic the other day. I don't know if you can actually hear the sirens, but there was one persistent cop car that was just like, the best time to be loud is when you're getting to the sexy shit. Pinned beneath him in a way that would have been highly suggestive without the current context. One of her legs was wrapped around his. Their hips were nearly flush, and she could feel every hard ridge of his. Oh, fuck you, we are just getting to the sexy grappling. I do not need sirens, it's sexy grappling time. But there was something about feeling the heat from Mandalore's bare chest. Oh, fuck you. Every time it gets sexy... Force! Nope, that is a punch in the solar plexus and not sexy. Let's try that again.
Oh, sick. I don't know what I did to deserve that. Oh, come on!
So, yeah. Thank you to Fets on Top for having blanket permission to Podfic. Thank you to Effiego for writing the prompt letter that inspired this in the first place. Thank you, listener, for listening and sharing this with me. I hope you enjoyed it. I certainly did. And yeah, have a nice day.